Today, the second Sunday of Easter, the first reading comes from Acts chapter 4. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were given their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle comes from 1 John, beginning with the first chapter. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. We all like gifts, don't we? Especially when they're wrapped up nice, nice bow, nice ribbon. We all like gifts. Now, do we deserve gifts? Somebody said yes. Hey, okay. Wasn't expecting that one. Doug, your wife deserves gifts. Anyway, God gives us gifts that we have not earned or deserved. Before the crucifixion, Jesus gave a gift to his disciples, and it was words, and I think it's words that they forgot when Good Friday to Easter morning happened. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not let it be afraid. God strengthens us with the same gift. Peace be with you. This lesson takes place on Easter Sunday in the evening. And it says that they were hiding behind the locked doors for fear of the Jews. Now, here's something that's always got me about this story. Maybe it's because I'm a Detroit boy. But if you're afraid of getting caught, you all don't hang together. You scatter to the seven winds. So you can tell that they weren't Detroiters, they were Galileans who decided to all stay together in the same room to make it easier to pick them off. I don't know. But that's what they decided to do for fear of the Jews. Now, something about the Gospel of John. John was written about 85 AD, about 50 years after the first Easter. When John writes his Gospel lesson, the church is being persecuted throughout the Roman Empire. This was a particularly brutal persecution. And John writes his Gospel lesson to assure the people. And that's why you read in Gospel of John several times where Jesus says, "Peace be with you." John wanted his readers to hear those words again. As I said, the disciples were all hanging together for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." The very first words he says to his disciples after the resurrection is, "Peace be with you." It has a calming effect on the disciples. They were healing words. They were forgiving words. They were comforting words. And Gospel of John says that he then showed them his hands and his side. You know, that had to make them uncomfortable for a moment to see his hands and his side, realizing that they had abandoned him when he needed them most. But he comes and says, "Peace be with you." Peace in this sense does not mean an absence of trouble. Peace has the idea of everything is now right between you and I. That's what he's saying to the disciples. That's what he says to us. Everything is all right between us. So when he says, "Peace be with you," they were forgiving words because the disciples had all failed. His hands and his side had proven that he had overcome death, that he was the Lord of eternal life. Now, when he appears, the appearance in the upper room, all right, told the disciples, "Leave fear and move on. Step into life." Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you also." He turns their fear into joy. You know, we have our own fears. Sometimes out of fear, we make the wrong decisions. Or because of fear, we're afraid to talk to somebody within the church because of what might they think of me. Or a fear of public speaking. I won't ask for a raise of hands, but how many people have a fear of public speaking? Would you believe I did when I was in grade school and into high school? Absolutely terrified. My hand shook worse than anything you ever seen. You know, I had a fear of public speaking at one point in my life. Then I just realized I'm going to say stupid stuff, so just get up there and enjoy doing it. Well, I'm not talking about stupid stuff now. Now I'm talking about the only thing that really matters, and that's salvation because of Jesus Christ. So I shouldn't say, now I say stupid stuff. But we do have a fear about talking about Jesus to other people. We fear for our children. We fear for our grandchildren. We fear in saying I'm sorry. We fear a bad diagnosis from a doctor. We fear pain. We fear death. We fear starting something new. And then you have the other great phobias, the fear of snakes, spiders, and elevators, and so on. I agree with the fear of elevators. They do. They close in while you're in there. Yes, especially the ones that rattle. Yes, I admit I have a fear of elevators. And when I go visit in the hospital, I will walk anything up to 6 flights of stairs to avoid an elevator. Because they're out to get me. Jesus, I need to listen to Jesus' words. Peace be with you. It was imperative that the disciples listen to his words. And we should never underestimate the power of the word of God. Romans 10 tells us, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message comes through the word of Christ. We need to hear God's word. We need to hear it again and again. We need to hear those words from Christ. Peace be with you. We need to let the meaning of that idea that everything's now right between God and us sink in. You know, sometimes the simplest message is the most powerful message, like peace be with you, or he is risen. Indeed. Hallelujah. Now, today's society doesn't have peace in any sense of the term of peace. All right? Society worries about the future, the economy, the environment, or health reasons. Just turn on the news and how much do you see about the virus, the fear? Wow. Or they always put the crime. By the way, you ever watch the weather? It's always the worst storm coming of the century. They're trying to generate fear so you watch them. Because somehow you'll be safe if you know when it's coming. I look out the window and go, it's raining. I don't need the man on TV to tell me it's raining, but that's beside the point. The world does not have peace. The world doesn't pay attention to the Lord. In the book of Amos, there's a scary passage. Look, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine into the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but rather a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Those are kind of scary words. But God says to us, peace be with you. Jesus is offering the world a peace that the world cannot create on its own. That's why he says to his disciples, I am sending you also. The world needed to hear that message. Just jumping ahead until, you know, Pentecost. You think about it. There's now 11 disciples left, scared and in an upper room. In a very short period of time, these 11 are going to disperse throughout the ancient world, spreading Christianity everywhere they go. And then, of course, St. Paul joins their number. They face persecution, they face hardship, but they never again ran from the message. When Peter and the disciples were told to be quiet, Peter says, I can't. I have to follow what God says, not men. That's how powerful the word of God is. It can change hearts and minds. Peace is found only in Christ's death, life, and resurrection. Isaiah 53 tells us, he was crushed for the guilt our sins deserved. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Jesus was punished for our guilt. Now our sins are forgiven, and now we have peace with God. Before that, God was not at peace with the world. Now, I'm sure everybody has seen the great musical, The Sound of Music. I hate to admit, there's only two in the world that I really can stand. One is Fiddler on the Roof, and this is the other one. I can actually kind of almost take this one. Because it's got some good stuff in it, like guns and people running. And anyway, that's beside the point. Julie Andrews, who plays Maria in this, sings a song about confidence. I have confidence in springtime. I have confidence in the fall. She says, I have confidence in confidence alone. We have faith. We do not have faith in faith. We have faith in Jesus Christ. We trust the Bible for its historical person of Jesus, that he lived, he died, and he rose again. And the Apostle John says he's got positive proof that this actually happened. He says, I was an eyewitness to it. Remember when Jesus was crucified, there was only one disciple who came, and that was John. John saw the soldier put the spear into the side of Christ and the blood and water pour out. John writes that he and Peter ran to the tomb. John writes that Mary Magdalene touched Jesus and spoke to him. She tells the disciples, and they're all afraid. Wow. She's excited about the news, and they were afraid. Then, of course, John records the upper room without Thomas, and then with Thomas. The reason I bring this up is John puts an awful lot of ink into the story about Thomas. When the Bible puts a whole lot of ink to something, it's important. Like, what is the core of what's going on there? Of course, then John brings up the fact that Thomas is there the next week. Jesus shows him his hands and his side. And John records then that all this was done to prove that Jesus is the Christ. It is Thomas who says, my Lord and my God. I think that's why John records it. Because now the disciples get it, who he is, my Lord and my God. We read in the book of Acts that it wasn't just the 11 disciples who saw Jesus or the women, but there were 500 witnesses that saw Jesus. We don't just have an empty tomb to look at to say he's risen. People actually saw him afterwards. And by the way, the importance of a blood and flesh resurrection cannot be understated. You know, if you believe that Jesus was born in a manger, died on the cross, and did not rise again, as it did not rise again, you are not a Christian. St. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15:14. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. That's why John stresses the importance of the physical resurrection. Not only was it the greatest miracle in the history of the world, Jesus did a lot of miracles throughout his life. And I'm not talking about just the healing of people. The miracle that he didn't sin. He was able to resist Satan. He's put to death, he's buried, and the miracle is he rises again. And then he says to the disciples and us, peace be with you. Miracles happen every day around us. I think sometimes we get so used to it, we don't think about it. Do you realize you don't have to think about breathing? Now, you're all concentrating on your breathing, right? But you don't have to. You got a God who designed the body to take care of that. How about the miracle of the heart? How many gallons of blood that little organ can pump? And it does it for X number of years of our life. That's a miracle in and of itself. The human body is just an incredible miracle. Psalm 139 says, you wove me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and my soul knows that very well. Knowing the Lord has done all this gives us comfort. We have a peace. As I said, the world does not have that peace. The world dreads the future. The resurrection, though, for us Christians is it changes us, so we now have eternal life. Because of the resurrection, we have eternal life. It changes then also our earthly living. From Micah chapter 6, verse 6, what does the Lord require from you except to carry out justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God? We have the amazing gift of peace from God. We're humbled, or we should be humbled as a result. We know what mercy is because God showed mercy to us first. Excuse me. The world, on the other hand, I said, doesn't have that peace. See, we understand that God's in control of everything. God is in control of everything that goes on. The world says no one's in control, and then it's a fight for who can get the most power and the most control. That's the focus of the world, is power. So they try to create human institutions that can govern all things, like massive government or feeble human reasoning. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 35, it says, "You yourselves were shown this, so that you could know that the Lord, He is God. There is none except Him alone," that He is in control. So when He says, "Peace be with you," we know it's true. So the most powerful words spoken in the Bible, when God says to us, "Peace be with you," forgiveness of sins brings that peace. We don't have to feel threatened by the world. We have a relationship with God that is right. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, what no eye has seen and no ear has heard and no human mind has conceived, this is what God has prepared for those who love Him." We have seen much and we have heard much. We have a loving Heavenly Father that has prepared for us more than anything that the human mind can comprehend. And I'm talking about heaven. It begins with the comfort and strength of the words, "Peace be with you." So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.